Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
We have a fantabulous show for you today, all about social gaming and Windows Azure. Yeah, what a shocker that we would talk about Windows Azure on the show, but we're going to do it.
Excellent.
It's one of the most requested features people ask. Can you talk about
Windows Azure?
Yeah. And so we're going to do that. We're going to have a tip of the week, as always.
Yep.
And before all that, we're going to start with the news.
Yeah.
So what do we got?
Why don't we get started? So last week, we had the Worldwide Partner Conference. And I think you guys covered some of this on the last show. I watched the last show, but yeah. So one of the big announcements was the marketplace.
Yep.
And essentially, it's a marketplace for SaaS applications. So if you're building a SaaS application, you know, maybe a CRM app, some kind of app, you can integrate it into our marketplace and find a different stream in which to monetize that application. So different way for users to come in, different way for users to pay for the app, and. So that was released. So that was one of the big things covered at the Worldwide Partner Conference. A couple of other things that this post mentions is both the Windows Azure Platform appliance. So we give an update on where we are with the appliance. I know a lot of people are asking questions. Just what's the status? When is it going to be available? When can I get one in my back? In my basement or at my house?
Starting in August, $49.95 per appliance.
Nice.
Order now. Or three easy payments of $20.
Does it integrate directly with Media Center? Because that would be awesome.
Yes, it does. It's an Xbox extender.
Nice.
whatever those things are.
Plug my TV right into it.
You just do that. More actual truthful details.
Yeah.
So check out the post for that stuff.
And then some other updates too. I mean, when the next version of Windows was important.
I've heard about that.
System Center, Denali, and so forth. So good article just to catch up on Worldwide Partner Conference.
This one is our good friend Nate Totten. Just won't stop helping people to deploy web roles.
And I can't stand it when we try to help people.
I know. When things are too easy, you hate it when things get easier. And this just got a little bit easier. So this was in response to when this accelerator, the Windows Azure Accelerator for Web Roles.
Yeah. Good job.
Wow, or as I like to call it. Went out, people asked about, what about PHP?
Martin in particular, right? So Martin is a new Windows Azure MVP, I believe an ASP.NET MVP.
Something else MVP.
But,
an ASP.NET MVP who spent all his time doing PHP
he
stuff.
He does a lot of PHP stuff.
In fact, he
built the PHP SDK for Windows Azure. So.
Yeah. So he wanted to know, this would be cool for PHP. How can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Other people asked about MVC3 so that they wouldn't have to do the right-click and add the deployable binaries whatever that thing is.
So actually just getting that directly into the web role itself so that MVC3 is set up, PHP is set up, and so forth.
Yep. So Nate did that.
Yep.
It was like basically a one-line change to a batch file.
Yep.
It's slightly more than one line. People may recognize from my article about trips.
The trips
you can take with startup tasks and the gotchas associated with those trips.
Yep.
That you have to do this weird app data thing to make the special sort of system local system user
just fix
do
stuff.
The right anyway yeah. You just do the
just
thing
do
that
it
said to do on my blog, and he added PHP 5.3 and MVC3 to this line that installs stuff.
One thing I'm noticing is not in the snippets at least is gracefully exiting. So
he doesn't have the exit/B0.
Yeah. So
he's assuming stuff works.
Assuming it works.
Or that at least it returns a success code.
Yeah.
Although, frankly, if the last line of the file is like reg add, I bet that's the exit code that goes. Anyway, so with that small change, now you can use that accelerator and just sort of web deploy a PHP app without having to mess with the PHP binaries.
That's pretty awesome.
Stuff like that. So, very cool.
Great. One of the other things we wanted to talk about is the announcement of the next service release for SQL Azure. And take a look at the post. One of the things we really wanted to call out is that as part of the next service release, they will be increasing the version number of SQL Azure, and it will have some impacts. In particular, tools like SSMS or SQL Server Management Studio won't expect to see that version number coming back if you interact with SQL Azure. So there's some information here on what you'd need to do. Essentially, there's going to be a cumulative update that will address this. So when this gets rolled out, if things stop working in SSMS or really any other tool that has a dependency on the version number, number or expects a particular version number, then you will want to take a look at this cumulative update. Or, you know, if it's something that you've written, potentially change it so that it's not as brittle with, you know, in regards to the version number.
And you can get these updates now, right? So you don't have to wait till stuff breaks.
Yeah, you don't have to
click
wait.
Those things and download them, and and then you'll have a smooth transition to that.
Awesome.
Cool. Hey, and look, it's Nate again.
There's Nate.
This is welcome to the Nate Totten Show.
Yeah.
Even when he's not here, we talk about him.
Yep.
Look, he's got a great shirt on in there.
Yep. Long walks in the cloud. I speak your languages. And you may have noticed, not to derail, but you know, we actually have another pretty cool Windows Azure shirt that's come out. This one is You Compute Me. Yep. Are you highly available?
You Compute Me.
Yeah.
So they're little like personal ads.
Yep.
We have two of them, I guess. We have
two.
The Long Walks in the Cloud and the Compute Me that we've had at the conference this week.
Yep. So this article here is actually an interview that was done by Dean from VentureBeat talking to Nate and David Appel about the Windows Azure Toolkit for Social Games, which is today's feature. And
look at the transition.
It's amazing. It's like
we're
this
so
is
good.
Planned.
Yeah.
So the Social Gaming Toolkit has been released today, and it was released to coincide with the Seattle Casual Connect, which is a conference here in Seattle, of all places.
Notable for the presence of LeVar Burton.
Yes.
That's pretty much.
It has been pretty awesome. So LeVar Burton actually was interviewed at the end of yesterday, and it was pretty awesome.
But anyway, this conference is for people who sort of build, market,
games.
Whatever. I mean, it's a sort of an industry sort of thing for casual games. And we were there yesterday. Nate's giving a talk today. All these days, by the way, are the day that we recorded. They're meaningless to you. But earlier in this week that you're watching this show, or last week if you watch it next week, we were there at a Windows Azure booth, and Nate gave a talk about this new toolkit that we have, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, but you don't have to take our word for it.
Yes.
Sweet. So
it's a little LeVar Burton humor.
Yeah.
I hope he watches the show. Do you think he's going to watch the show?
You know,
if the Cloud Cover show says like,
I don't know,
episode 52 is live with LeVar Burton.
I've been trying to engage him over Twitter, maybe hounding him a little bit, and he hasn't responded yet.
You've been a little too
aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
At any rate, so on the Windows Azure team blog today, we've got the official announcement.
I love the text of this. Like, I love that you've just built the best zombie ninja gardening game for Facebook.
Yep.
Which is like, I can imagine myself in that situation.
No,
but then I got boing boinged.
Yep.
So this is even the blog post is actually excellent. But this whole toolkit is pretty cool.
Yeah. And so the toolkit, and we'll get into the toolkit in a moment. But one other notable thing to talk about is, as part of building out this toolkit, we wanted to build an app that actually was leveraging the toolkit. So not only a test and a validation of the toolkit, but also something people could, you know, go play and interact with. And so we teamed with Grant Skinner and his team to build out a game called Tankster. So if you take a look,
I suggested the name Get Tanked.
Get Tanked. Yeah, we've had a lot of different names go through the various.
Yeah, that one didn't make it through the legal and patent, like trademark review and stuff. Yeah. It turned out.
So it's a neat game. We'll look into it a little bit more in a moment. But it's an HTML5 game. Actually, should we just play it now?
Let's play it.
Okay, cool.
Who cares about the toolkit? Everybody wants to know.
One of the things.
So you can play this game. Like,
you can play it now.
Just go to tankster.net and if this were a live show, you could play against us right now.
That would be kind of fun.
But you can't. But when we put the show, we'll probably hang out and play. When the show goes out. Yeah. Anyway.
But so this game, it's running in Windows Azure. It's leveraging Windows Azure storage, compute, and when I go to log in, it's going to use the access control service. So I can use, you know, existing identity providers as a way of authenticating into it. So I'm going to choose Facebook. I'm not sure if I had already logged in or not, so we'll see.
I saw him type password 123, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering what it is.
Yeah, it's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there are 9 dots there. That's plausible. plausible password for Wade.
So, you know, so what we just did, we went to Facebook, logged in, passing, you know, my token back to the access control service. It then transforms it, sends it to the game, and voila, we're going to log into the game. So now I'm logged in.
Sweet. And it knows your name.
It knows my name.
And because that was a claim that you can get from Facebook as an
and
identity provider.
Get this. Look at that. It actually grabbed my Facebook picture as well.
Right. Right.
So it uses my avatar.
That's good that it imported that.
So I'm in the game. There's actually a couple different modes. You can practice, you know, just play one-on-one. Actually, I think not one-on-one. You're going to play all the
It's really one-on-one.
Yeah, or you can skirmish. So what we'll do here, let's do a skirmish here where we're
this
playing.
Is the special split screen view.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
this game.
Going to have to
because it's
in.
Based on the power of HTML5 and IE9, you can just zoom out.
Yep,
and it all works.
Fit. Yep. Actually, don't try this in Chrome right now cuz it's interesting. I was initially doing this in Chrome and all of a sudden, the JavaScript rendering gets really slow in Chrome. Just slows down. Yeah.
When you zoom out, or just like in general?
As soon as you zoom out.
The zooming?
Yeah, so if you play in full screen, it works just fine.
But if you zoom out.
If you zoom out, all bets are off.
It makes the performance lower.
It just goes,
as well
your missiles are just going do like that.
There are missiles, by the way, in the game. So, like, the game is basically a port of the QBasic Guerrillas game. Did you ever play the Guerrillas?
No, I mean honestly, when you see this, to me it is scorched earth.
It is scorched earth, but the Guerrillas game in QBasic was a scorched earth sort of, except you threw bananas at each other instead of, and then when you win, the little gorilla does this gorilla dance.
Yeah,
yeah. It's... I can't believe you've missed out on the glory of QBasic. I don't know if you can still get QBasic and play that game.
So I actually just associated you to my my live ID so that we're playing as Steve Marks. But anyway, let's go ahead and join the battle queue. So essentially we're joining the queues, and theoretically, if there's other people playing this game right now, we did launch it. I mean, there's links to it. We could get some other random person
there as well. This is live
as
of like an hour ago or something.
But you can see we've got each side has got, you know, one additional opponent.
So now we're matching people up through the cloud.
Through the cloud. Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about the architecture in a moment. But essentially, we're leveraging Windows Azure Storage to do a lot of the game state management here.
Right.
So, you know, each of these HTML clients are... you know, hitting blob storage to grab the latest version of the game state, and they do these, you know, they do these polls fairly often to grab this information, and then every time we take an action, we end up writing that action into a queue. We have a worker role that then is running in the background, processes the action off the queue, and updates the game state in blob storage. So, I mean, it gets a little bit more complex with that when you manage multiple games and such. But hey, let me quickly just buy a bunch of nukes because I mean, the nukes are fun. So. We bought our weapons.
You've played this game before, Wade. That was pretty quick.
Yeah, I know where the nukes are. I also bought some napalm as well. So
okay, good. Yeah, because in every game of
every
Guerrillas,
good tank battle, you need a little bit of napalm.
It's true.
Yeah. All right, so we're in. So you can see here it's Red's turn. It should say Steve here. I'm not quite sure why it doesn't say Steve. But let's go ahead and let's fire a shot.
What? No nuke though?
I would say this is more like a tracer round.
Nice
shot. I just want to make sure, I don't want to waste a nuke. Thanks.
Oh, I see. You want to make sure that you've got...
And you can see, actually, a pretty good shot. So I've got everything lined up there. I'm going to, now it's time to fire back. By the way, I can also send a message and go, you know, it is pretty small. I have a feeling people are going to have a harder time reading that. But basically, Steve just made an evil laugh.
Yeah. Yes. That's like this. Just like that.
Sir, I'm afraid you've gone mad with power.
That's how you spell that, in case you were wondering. And
yeah,
wow, Wade, you've played this game before.
Bit, I think.
That's pretty good.
All right, so, let's go ahead and change our weapon. And change our weapon. You kind of get a little bit of a...
Oh, it gives you the ghost of the... Then, oh, wow.
I overdid it a little bit. Yeah, I didn't quite line it up. But, I mean, look at that. He's almost dead.
He is almost dead.
Let's see. If I can hit you direct, I think I can kill you.
Oh, let's see. Now that you're about to destroy that player, it's truly me. That looks pretty good. I like how it's like an instant replay when you watch it on like the.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, that was interesting. Did you see that? It actually fired it twice. Well, at any rate,
that was a bug.
That was actually a bug.
We found a bug.
Here, and that's actually a great transition to talking about the toolkit, because it is in preview.
Right. That was brilliant, actually. Yep. So we're calling it a preview of the Windows Azure toolkit for social games. I don't know how to pronounce. I knew how to say Wower. One's like Watsk. Yeah, because you have to.
I gotta put the preview.
So
in line with the toolkits that we've been producing, so we've got the Windows Azure toolkit for Windows Phone 7, for iOS, and eventually Android.
Yep.
We also have now this toolkit for social games. And pretty same components to this toolkit. We've got a set of libraries that you can use, samples, quite a bit of work done on the HTML5 side for interacting with services, REST services. Because that app we saw it's pure HTML5 app. It's actually kind of neat. It works on the Windows Phone, I've tested it on an iPad. Well, there are some interesting components to that, because every time you try to move things around, the browser just bounces. There's something about
it's a drag as well as a, like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so, but the game renders fine. Yep. So there's a lot of work there. Plus, one of the things that we really tried to optimize is on the server side, creating an API layer. So it's a REST set of APIs. With a vocabulary for building social games, how to manage players, how to manage the actions, to coordinate activities across multiple players, and so forth. So, a lot of work. Since this is a preview, we've really been optimizing on the game itself,
just get
the toolkit. We do have some good documentation. I think we have an overview and getting started. We will have more coming soon. I did a video cast this morning that will eventually be published, so we'll get there. But
cool. The
bits are there, so you can go to download it. The overview is kind of interesting. Oh, let's reset that so it's useful.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the main components. A couple things. So in addition to all the server APIs that run up in Windows Azure that handle everything from authentication to user play to all the gameplay, we also have a very simple test client, which is really actually nice from a dev perspective. Rather than having the whole UI and everything, it's just a simple test harness that it runs in a browser, but you can simulate all the activities. I think you've used that before, right? Because instead of running coordinating where you're pointing the turret, you'll give it the angle and the power and all that kind of stuff, and you can just replicate very rapidly.
I have not used that before.
I thought you did.
But that sounds good.
Okay. And then also the sample game being Tankster, all the source for Tankster.
Right, you have the full source. You can go fix that bug that we just found if you want.
Yeah.
Please send it to me.
So, we've got the download. It's a self-extracting executable. So we'll go ahead and download that real quick. And what you can do with this is unpack it, and it's going to give you all the assets. So for those of you that have seen the Windows Phone 7 toolkit, same model.
Right, same.
For that matter, it's very similar to the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit as well. So grab that, go ahead and run it, accept our EULA, and we'll go ahead and unpack it. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, when you get here, a lot of the documentation that is up on CodePlex is within the kit as well. So you've got the prereqs, getting started, and you can walk through this process. I mean, this will get you from where we are now to playing Tankster locally. Let me go ahead and just show you. What I recommend first is run setup, and what setup will do is make sure that you have all the dependencies.
Yep.
So we have a dependency checker. It's a little bit fancier than you may have seen in the past.
This is a new schnazzy
And what's
version.
Nice about this, now everything here is installed, but if, for instance, I didn't have MVC3 installed, rather than us sending you a link to somewhere else, it's actually integrated with web platform installer now.
Right.
So WebPI. So it'll just launch WebPI and let you install it and any dependencies that MVC3 needs. So that's kind of nice. You'll see this more and more from us. This is a point-in-time console to launch it.
I love how it's like, look at the nice new UI we have. And then it's like, okay, is it done?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah. Preview. Now, the one other thing, the reason we have this console here as well is there is a relational database that manages a lot of the components of the game, everything from user information and so forth. So what this is saying is, do you want to continue? And yes, what it's going to do is, I said no. Well, if I clicked yes, it will have created the SQL database locally, or you can modify it to point to SQL Azure. Turns out I've already done this. By the way, if you wanted it to point to SQL Azure, you can modify that config XML, and it makes it really easy to rerun this stuff pretty rapidly so that you can run everything locally, and then when you're ready, run it again, pointing with new information, your account name, key, and so forth, and everything is up and running.
So what's in that database? The high score stuff in the database, or is that in?
Yeah, here.
Because I'm still.
Want to look at the schema?
Sure.
On the show? Okay, let's do it.
Let's look at the schema.
All right, let's just use Notepad.
Yeah, Notepad.
All right, so user stats.
Okay, right. So this is yep. Statistics.
And realize
high score.
I didn't show it. We have a leaderboard as well. So there's a leaderboard, and think about trying to do some of that stuff like aggregating and summing and sorting and so forth. And Windows Azure Table Storage,
right?
Totally possible, but maybe a little bit more work versus SQL
right. And
Azure.
you don't need like incredible scale for. Even if you have tens of thousands of users or whatever, you're not gonna have any trouble sort of putting that in a database and making that work.
And even if we do, one thing that we could end up incorporating to this as well is a caching tier on top of it. Leaderboard. Sure. You certainly want it to be up to date, but you could have things purged from the cache every 5 seconds or something like that. And even if you're getting hit with thousands of requests a second, that'll help. So,
right.
That information.
So this is sort of aggregate stuff. See, because I'm still putting together the picture, because there's client with all the sort of game logic on it, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a server that handles the authentication stuff, and then like game state within, so that communication when I did my evil laugh and then it appeared on your screen. That was me sending something up to the cloud, that getting written into a blob, the blob getting read. So all that stuff that's through Windows Azure Storage.
Correct.
But then things like, now that you beat me, your score and the leaderboard,
the money that
that's all in SQL Azure.
Yeah, I guess, yep. So it's largely the leaderboard information.
Right.
So we can report on top of it. One thing, to get back to kind of like the coordination, the way it's set up is, we've tried to optimize this for as scalable as possible. If Tankster just gets hammered, we don't want it to go down.
If it gets tanked.
That's an unfortunate, aspect of the name, I guess. So right now, any action that's done, like when I did, writes it to a queue.
Right.
And then a worker role running in the background is, grabbing that information as it comes in and updating game state for the game that we're playing.
Right. So. And the technology behind sort of the game state is kind of neat, because that actually just goes into a public blob, like a public readable blob, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a shared access signature, I don't know for sure. But it goes to a blob, and then the client goes directly to blob storage. So you're not funneling all that traffic through your front end.
Yep.
So all the constant polling to see if the game state is updated and whatever is just hitting blob storage directly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's using JSONP to do that.
Exactly,
Which lets you do so it lets you do the cross-domain sort of thing. And so the game state is represented as wrapped JSON.
Yep.
Through jQuery with JSONP, sort of fetch that and get an update. And so that's nice, because it means that the only stuff that goes through the web role here is sending out the update. So like when I play and make my move or when I type something, that goes up through the front end into a queue, and so that goes to the API.
Yep.
But the polling, everybody getting updated with that, all they're doing is watching a blob and watching when it changes. And so it's kind of neat for scalability, because you've gotten to offload a bunch of the hardest part of this, of sort of the constant polling, and offload that to blob storage.
Yeah.
So it's a very good architecture.
And you know what's been fun about talking about it too is, going to this Seattle Casual Connect and meeting with game developers. These are some things that they have real concerns about.
Right.
A lot of the companies that we spoke with the other day are either using more traditional hosting, where they have just dedicated, machines somewhere, and they're trying to figure out, how do they scale past this? They're talking about, we're getting overutilized on our machines and so forth. And, it's a matter of being able to not just move to, like, let's say a web role running in Windows Azure, but then taking some of that other stuff and offloading it to storage, so that you're not totally and completely dependent on just that one VM running up in Windows Azure. So pretty cool stuff. I'll just quickly show the solution that comes with it. So All the everything is shipped here. This is the actual Tankster game. Again, apologies, we don't have, you know, rigorous documentation yet on the server APIs. I mean, you can certainly go through, and the code itself is, I guess, self-documenting.
Yeah, go look at them. Yeah, it's probably not horrible. I haven't actually looked through this code yet, but I bet now that everybody has sort of the mental model for sort of the you know, where the queues fit in, where the blobs and whatever, I bet you can sort of poke around, and these are not that hard to read.
Yeah,
and
so, I mean, you can look at, like, the worker right here. So this is the one that's reading the queues and updating the game state. So you can take a look at that. You know, the gameplay, this is our actual web app where all the HTML5 lives. So there's actually quite a bit here. We're going to spend a lot of time really dissecting all the HTML5 components and how, you know, these things are communicating back to storage. And then, you know, some of the other, we've got a library for some of the core pieces and so forth. One thing, and we'll explore this more later as well, is there's quite a bit of a dependency on NuGet. We're really leveraging NuGet as part of the model to make things easier to deploy updates down, so that I don't always have to grab the latest version of the toolkit. We can release an updated version of the NuGet package, and the next time you open something up, it'll say, hey, we've got a new such and such core engine, do you want to apply it? So we think that'll be useful. Let's go ahead and just hit F5, and I didn't tell it to create the database, so I'm hopeful that it...
So hopefully it's still there from still a there. Previous time that
I mean,
you did this.
I mean, SSMS didn't open before, so who knows what the
yeah,
state of my
happening.
Local environment is. It should work, I think.
We like to live on the edge on this show.
We do.
There's no plain
It says
safe
game
here.
In the title. It's got to be a good sign.
That's good. At least we know it's a game.
And there we go.
Cool. So if you install, you do the start here, you say yes a couple times, and then hit F5, you'll have a fully running. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Because it means you can watch all the stuff. I mean, you can go step through in the debugger and whatever and learn and you know, just really learn how the thing works, since there isn't a lot of documentation yet.
Yeah, there isn't, not yet. And you may notice, you know, someone who's really paying attention, there's slight differences between this and the live version. That's because even over the last day or two, we've updated some stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll keep shipping updates to the toolkit. I imagine even in the next day or two, we'll incorporate some changes based on the usage we see over the next day or two. So I don't want to wait for another 25 seconds here.
Because there's no button to skip.
There's no
it
button
like there
to say done in the update. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
practice mode, by the way, because this bit me. So I'm just going to tell people practice mode, you'll see this screen and you'll pick all the things, and then
you'll hit
I think
done.
In the live version you can hit done.
Yep.
In this version, you just sort of have to wait. And then it'll just pop up again, and you'll get really confused until you notice that up here it says user 2,
right.
And then 3 and 4. So in practice mode, you have to do this for each player.
Because you have multiple drones in practice mode. Right. And so you'll play each one of them versus having some sort of AI.
So you have to go through the screen 4 times or whatever, however many players there are.
You can see now we're on user 3.
Right.
So.
And so don't – it's not – I mean – it's broken, but it's not broken. You just have to sort of go through the screen.
It works exactly as we intended it to work.
Except
maybe
that no one ever
problem.
Knows that. Yeah.
That was it. So at any rate,
cool.
You know, but
all right. Well, people should just go download it. I mean, and play with it. It's kind of neat. It's a neat architecture. It's nice to think through these sort of how can you offload some of your scale problems to other Windows Azure components. Not, as you said, not just run some web roles, you know, but how can you actually make use of the platform? You had like a straight shot.
No, actually,
because
you
can't
the turret
aim down.
Doesn't aim down as much, so so you gotta get a little bit. See now.
You looked like a genius.
I know
when you
before.
Did this before.
I should have just
and
stopped
now,
there.
Now I question.
You know what? Here I'm gonna.
Okay, well, if you're done playing this game, maybe we could move on with the show.
Okay, sure. So let's get back. So I think
it's that magical time of the show.
Yeah.
Where what are we gonna do? Are we gonna use the?
Well, you know what? Let's not lead up to it too much because
we don't know exactly what.
But
there's gonna be some sort of intro to the tip of the week now,
which it could be very interesting. Might be a little embarrassing.
So here it is, your tip of the week.
Speeding bullets. more powerful than a locomotive.
Hey, I can. I think I can see the campus down there.
Yeah, those things look like ants down there.
No, those are people, Steve.
Oh,
not ants.
Okay. Wow. Flying sure is fun. Whoa, I want to do a trick too. Midair high five. I'm scared of this. Okay, we should actually do the show though.
Yeah. And we're back.
That was fantastic.
It was.
I think on the very last tab we've got open, we have, okay, no, because nope. We've opened some other stuff.
There we go.
This one, which we sort of should have covered in the news.
But it makes a good tip.
We wanted to point out the tip.
Let's actually go demonstrate the tip.
But basically, some new stuff has shipped, some changes to the Windows Azure Management Portal, Windows Azure Platform Management Portal. I don't know what the full name is. Yes, WAPM, have come through, and one of the cool things, actually, is that you can change the language. We've actually now got the whole portal translated into a number of different languages.
Including Klingon.
And so you can go change that. I wish. That would have been great. But the other thing is, you can right-click on all sorts of stuff. And that's the tip is right-click, because you may have been trained by now to not try to right-click.
Right-click, delete.
But do that.
And that actually
works now.
Yes, this is my favorite feature, is I don't have to stop my hosted instance,
you can
wait
just delete
for it to refresh,
it.
And then delete. I can just delete it. So that's pretty awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, it saves me at least 10 seconds per instance I want to get rid of.
So anyway, the tip is now that you know you can right-click on things, just go
right-clicking.
And you'll find out that actually it speeds up a lot of different things that really, they were just buttons up in the ribbon, but now it's kind of easier to
I wonder what this copies if I copy this.
It copies to the clipboard. It actually copies some sort of useful stuff.
Okay, let's not do that.
Yeah, do that have any secrets?
I think it was actually this information over here.
I think it was.
Okay.
It's actually, that's handy. I've played with it on a couple different, it does different things for sort of different
nodes in
there.
So it looks like in this case it's copying the properties.
And I think, it's pretty much always copying those properties. But it's in a nice way to sort of paste if you're asking for help on something or whatever.
Yeah.
It's nice
now,
to paste them
in. One note, it's not necessarily 100% across the portal. I'm pretty sure, for instance, there's no right click yet on the SQL Azure side.
Yeah.
Similarly with Service Bus, ACS, and caching, there's no right click. There will be. We now have a precedent for it.
And it doesn't hurt to right-click on it, though.
I mean,
nothing bad happens.
Whoa!
Perfect.
Nothing ever bad happens.
Perfect. We are not editing that out. That's awesome. Okay.
All right. So, actually, whoa, okay. So
you can. You can do bad things. Awesome.
It's great.
All right. So, we'll fix that bug.
Yep.
And I think that about does it for us. We'll be here next week.
Yeah. If you've got comments or an idea for a show or things you want to ask us, you can contact us on Twitter at Cloud Cover Show.
And be sure to CC at LeVar Burton.
Yes. Yeah, LeVar Burton. Yep.
On all this,
at
we're
LeVar
trying
Burton.
To get him involved in the show a
we
little
are.
More.
Yeah, we would
and
like
by a little more, we mean a little.
Just, yeah, something.
If he acknowledges our existence.
That'd be nice.
I will just... Yeah,
we should.
I might
he's
pass
in
out.
Town. We should have tried to get him on
to get
the
him
show.
On the show. Yeah, I'm betting that wouldn't have worked.
We could have talked about how Windows Azure could increase literacy amongst children.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do? I mean, that would be a really interesting topic. How can you lever Windows Azure to
butterfly in the sky? We can go twice as high in the cloud with Windows Azure.
Nice.
Stop the program.
And with that,
until next week. Thanks.
Thank you.